Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, just this little note before we dig into the Shane Ray situation. Did you catch that the Hamilton Tiger Cats have traded Johnny Manziel to the Montreal Alouettes? Puts them together with Mike Sherman, who recruited him. And he was the head coach at A&M when Manziel was going through his redshirt freshman year. He was not there when
he won the Heisman.
He was not there when he won the Heisman, but he's, you know, definitely somebody who's familiar with Johnny Manziel. So I don't know what was happening to him in Hamilton, but perhaps he gets life with Montreal.
I mean, the real reason that he was traded is because the Alouettes have a quarterback that has thrown for, I think, 9 300-yard games.
Ouch.
And Manziel wasn't going to see the field. So they did him a favor by trading him. So that,
there
it's,
you go.
It's,
hey, they want to win in Canada. It's not a minor league to them.
No.
It's a big deal to them. So they got to do what's best. Okay, you want to compare the Shane Ray to Kawhi Leonard somehow? How's that? How do you want to put that together?
It's just always it's always the players who have been disenfranchised with organizations because of, you know, failed medical reports that, you know, brings like the biggest friction and fray in relationships and pro athletes. Because, you know, I even remember Coach Shanahan, who I believe will be a Hall of Famer one day, said that Terrell Davis was cleared to play and he should be ready to play. And TD was like, man, my knee's not right. And you go, well, the doctors are saying you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the trainers are saying you're fine. You know, why can't you play right now? And you know, the athlete's saying, I can't. I'm still hurt. So that to me is always going to be part of sports, because there has to be a trust. There has to be a trust between the organization and the player. And really, there only needs to be trust in one major area before things really get going the right way. And it's really, it's, do you trust the medical staff that you're dealing with when you're going through an injury? Well, Kawhi Leonard did not trust what was going on with him in San Antonio. That's what started this whole thing. And because he didn't trust that organization, then, you know, he wants to do his rehab and treatment someplace else because they misdiagnosed him once and boom, let's move on. And I believe that Shane Ray, you know, the best thing for the Broncos to do right now is just to trade him before training camp starts. If he passes a physical, trade him. There's nothing good that can happen in this relationship right now going forward. You know, that, you know, you already have drafted his replacement. You have placed him in his replacement in
Bradley. All right, hold on. Let me play devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
Because
go ahead.
You said that Bradley Chubb, if Shane Ray is healthy, like before
Shane
we
Ray
knew
should be
it.
Started.
Well, that's what you said before we knew he was hurt
that's
at
right.
all.
That's right.
So what changed?
Well, I mean, right now, because, you know, it's, I'm just telling you, man, it's just,
I mean,
it's,
Shane Ray's good to go. Real. What's the difference?
But I'm just saying, it's real when, you know, I can you imagine if it was you as the player and your team is telling you that, hey, man, this surgery didn't work the first time. It didn't work the second time. And now you need a third surgery. And we're going to set this surgery up and do surgery on you again. And maybe he says, okay, I don't want you to do surgery on me anymore. I'm going down to this doctor in Houston to have the procedure done. And you get down to Houston, and the doctors in Houston say, hey, man, you don't need surgery. Dude, I mean, clearly somebody's got it wrong. And I would say that it's the people around here with the Broncos. It's a problem. So instead of bringing that negative aspect into your meeting rooms and your organization, why not just trade them?
Okay.
Do it now. Like if he passes a physical, this is the best time to do it, because he's passed the physical, and you can probably still get good value. Even if it's not a player this year, for next year's compensation, it's great, because you're not going to sign him to that fifth year of that contract.
Do you think it's just awkward having Shane Ray around at this point?
I would say so, because you've already established that Bradley Chubb was going to be the guy, and now all of a sudden, Shane Ray's back.
Bradley Chubb actually was asked about it by our guy Troy Rank.
Well, the competition's always going to be on, no matter if it's me, Shane, Shaq, whatever. I mean, everybody's going to be competing to better each other. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to be competing to better each other, like I said, and from that, we're going to grow as a unit and as a team. So we're excited to get to work.
Man, it's not quite like that, though. I understand what he's trying to say, and
he's trying to say that
fine.
There's always competition,
but
except it's not, because you were drafted in a top five of the NFL draft.
Right. The context is different, because they did not pick up his fifth year. They did draft you. The competition is kind of over, to be quite honest with you. I understand what he's trying to say there, but that only makes sense if everything's even. Things are not even close to being even.
He got all the reps in OTAs. He got all the reps in the rookie training camp. He's going to be behind no matter what happens, because he's a rookie. But D-Mac, I'm Shane Ray, I'm upset. I'm hot. I'm ticked off.
Well, he was like that. He was, I think, appropriately
like
ticked
that.
Off during OTAs.
He was like that
OTAs.
When they drafted Bradley Chubb.
He should have been.
What do you think he's like now after they have misdiagnosed him and said that he needed surgery, and then somebody else said that was a false claim?
You know what? I totally agree with you.
Trade him right now.
If he is healthy, that's good news. And maybe that's what this is really all about. Maybe this is pressing the issue for him to be traded. To think that he's going to do something that's going to really change people's opinions with Bradley Chubb here is, well.
He's going to get half the reps that he got last year.
Come on now.
I mean, excuse me. He's going to get half the reps of Von Miller, because they're going to rotate him. You know, it's just not a situation that you want to be in going into your last year. I mean, if it was me and I was a player, I would like to be traded.
Well, they got a few days to figure it out, I suppose, because once training camp started, we've seen what it's like when we thought players who were about to be traded weren't, and it's sticky. Remember Cutler with Miami?
Cutler?
Oh, not Cutler. Orton. He was going to be gone. Gone.
He was a back of the line playing on the scout team. You know,
gone. Just, he was going to be gone, and then
Fox was like, "No, he's our best quarterback."
And then he wasn't. Training camp opened up. It was horribly awkward, and they got off to a 1-4 start.
Nah. And he was booed coming out of the.
It was supposed to be Tebow's year that year.
Of the locker room.
And, I mean, it was Tebow's year.
The crowd wanted, you know, Tim Tebow, but everybody in the organization knew. You know, John Fox had just got here. John Elway had just got here. And they were saying, hey, man, this dude is our best quarterback.
Hey, by the way, and we'll dig deeper into training camp just a few days away. Scott DeHuff will be handing out free limited edition training camp 2018 T-shirts at the Breaks Plus in Arvada off Wadsworth starting at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And we're at a different Breaks Plus location every morning this week, Highlands Ranch, Glendale, and Brighton. And we're coming for you as well. You're going to love the shirt. And Bradley Chubb. You'll see what I'm talking about. Get the exact locations at 1043thefan.com. Limit one per person. While supplies last, there's going to probably be a big line, as there was last year. All thanks to Breaks Plus and Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We had some warm days when you were away, pal. I mean, it was like brutal.
But all of the grass everywhere looks great. Well, we had enough rain.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, those sporadic showers. This one looks a little socked in here at the tech center right now, so, you know, careful where you're driving. So we just look out the window and we assume whatever it is outside the window is wherever you are. So,
well, the radar actually kind of looks like it, to be honest with
you. Does it? Okay.
Yeah, I think you have a tornado warning down in El Paso County in Colorado Springs, so be careful down there.
Okay. Don't make fun of that. Do you know how many tornado warnings? I mean, I've lived here for 19 years. I'm not saying, you know what, I should probably stop.
All right. Because it would be the one person that does not listen to the warning.
Right. Like, I'm not rooting for the tornado.
I was listening to D-Mac.
He said, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Hasn't happened in 19 years.
Don't even go there.
No. No, take all the tornado warnings very, very seriously. Stop calling me.
Is that a call?
You know what that is? That's my knee scheduler. They don't realize what I'm doing. I just, like, you know. Sorry. Not everybody's completely aware of exactly when we're on the air, Alfred. I know it's mystifying. It's only been almost 9 years, so it's a tricky deal. We'll get to it during the break. All right, the Shane Ray situation, we've been over that a little bit. You know, we're only 5 days away. It seems
like,
I don't know, I could use a few more days of summer, I'm not going to lie. I know we're all excited to get training camp going, and, you know, it wouldn't break my heart if training camp didn't start till mid-August.
The real training camp starts on, is it going to be Tuesday?
We start late this year because our first preseason game is on a Saturday.
I'm talking about, you know.
Saturday and Sunday.
Pads, dude.
Monday.
I can't get excited about guys running around in shorts. Still can't get excited about it. Now, I think that they'll run around in shorts for the first couple of days because they just want to make sure everybody's okay and make sure their conditioning works well. And then they'll probably get to the action of putting pads on maybe Monday, July 30th.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that would be a half pad day. Then a full pad day, to me, would make sense on July 31st.
That may be the big day.
Mm-hmm, Tuesday.
That might be when the truth comes out.
Yep, and the one day that I never want to miss, ever want to miss, and if I was a fan, this would be the one day that I never would want to miss in training camp. The first day that they put the pads on, because all that shoving and that frustration and all that trash talking that was happening this whole offseason,
yep.
All of that comes to an end on the first day when the pads are put on. So I think that'll probably end up being Monday. I think that's how they did it last year. I think VJ wants the guys a couple days to get right. But if they waited till Tuesday, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either.
Yeah, sign up. Monday and Tuesday, probably it gets interesting.
Right. And that's what I want to see. You know, I've been thinking about, I heard Stink on this morning just talking about our rookie class, and in particular, what it's going to be like to have Courtland Sutton out there playing wide receiver. I was listening to him, and I was yelling at the radio. I should have just called in. I should have just called him. He was on with Troy Rank this morning, and they were talking about the wide receiver, once again, Courtland Sutton.
He's going to look great.
From SMU.
He's going to look amazing.
And they said that if he was... if he was the athlete that we think that he's going to be, then what they should do is move him to the X receiver. Now, the X receiver is the way that this works when you are looking at it, okay, if you're right-handed, okay, or you're left-handed, it doesn't matter. From the right, it goes X receiver, it goes Y receiver, and then it goes it goes X, Y, and Z, okay?
Okay. That's the traditional spelling.
Right. what he suggested was that Demaryius Thomas and Courtland Sutton go on the outside and put Emmanuel Sanders in the middle.
Of course, but that's not. Yes, that's a great idea. But that's unlikely to happen.
As soon as he said it, I said, You must not know Emmanuel Sanders.
Right. He plays for the Denver Broncos, though. But I know he likes to remind people
but
about that.
But I'll tell you this. But I'll also tell you this. I have a better idea about that.
Yeah.
Why not put Emmanuel Sanders on the outside as your number one receiver? Put him outside. Put Cortland Sutton as your number two receiver in obvious pass situation. And put DT in the slot.
Okay.
See, that to me makes sense. Because Emmanuel Sanders eats up space, and he makes defensive backs nervous.
However you want to do it. Right. But if you're not going to play Cortland Sutton, you're really making a mistake.
But you know where, remember around where Case Keenum's lowest percentage was?
Outside, deep left.
That's right. Put the rookie over there and throw him jump balls.
Not bad.
You know what I'm saying?
So good little analytics right there.
That's what I was thinking.
It's interesting.
And put DT in the slot. Because I think Emmanuel Sanders eats, I think Emmanuel Sanders on the right team will average, you know, 1,300 yards on the right team. He's that good of a receiver.
I think the concept of putting Sutton out where he can flourish is a really good idea. However else you want to do it, I mean, somebody's going to have to do something they probably don't want to do.
Well, I don't think that DT does not have the straightaway speed
is,
that he
what
once
if
had.
What if your best slot receiver is Deshaun Hamilton?
Well, he can play too in a four wide receiver set.
Okay.
But to me, I'm like, we look at DT like he's a number one receiver because he's amassed so many yards and he's been responsible for so many big plays.
Yeah, I hope they don't care about stuff like that this year.
He's not. I don't think that he's the best receiver on this team, and I've been saying that for a long time. I think Emmanuel Sanders is the best receiver on the team, and Demaryius Thomas is a two, and Sutton could be three. So if you want your best receivers on the field all at once, then put Emmanuel Sanders outside, basically on your right side, because the quarterback's right-handed.
Yeah.
Put DT in the slot, left or right, okay? And put Sutton outside against somebody else's second-best corner.
Well, you know,
in this case, if you say that your best corner would go against our best receiver, then you would match him up against Emmanuel Sanders. Okay, yeah. And then the second-best corner would go against Demaryius Thomas. And the third-best corner would go against our talented rookie.
Well, we'll see what
that's the way I see it going.
We'll see what they're thinking. And we don't have to wait till Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday. We'll see what they're thinking.
On Saturday.
Well, yeah, right? I mean, we'll at least see what they're thinking. By the way, this just in, Denver Airport on a full ground stop due to the weather, so no flights in or out, according to Denver 7 right now. So heads up, if you're in that mix at all with the airport, that everything's, so the weather's bad enough to do that. And we'll tell you if things change as they go on. But I can't wait for the next segment. Alfred, we're going to talk about robots. And sports. Are you kidding me? I mean, I love it. Robots, lasers, we'll get there next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Before we get to robots and lasers, Henry, you're on The Fan. Yes, Henry. Hello, Henry.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, what's going on, pal?
I just want to call and say I'm really pumped for training camp, and I wanted to say chub, chub, chub.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Way to go.
We appreciate it. Chub, chub. Yeah, by the way, limited edition T-shirts 2018, Breaks Plus in Arvada, 7 a.m. tomorrow with our own Scott DeHuff.
And just do it.
You're going to love the shirts. You are absolutely going to love the shirts. We'll be at different Breaks Plus locations every morning, Highlands Ranch, Glendale, Brighton. So go to 1043thefan.com. I mean, it's cool. You'll like it. You'll like it, I guarantee it. All right, Alfred, robots.
D-Mac, I saw something.
Talk to me.
I saw something that I saw in online, and I saw it, and I immediately thought, I am not ready for this. It was a robot that was shooting jump shots, but not, you know, just shooting the basketball.
A robot shooting basketball.
Just a robot shooting a basketball.
Okay.
Now, the robot was not running around. Okay. He was stationary. He had to be moved into one spot. Okay. And every time they moved him to a spot, he had to be assisted by other people to do it.
So it's a 17-footer. Let's beep, beep, beep,
yeah,
beep, beep,
17-footer, D-Mac.
30-footer, beep, 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 beep.
That's right.
Like that.
The robot.
But once he dialed it in, what happened?
The robot went perfect.
From where?
From the elbow. Oh, okay. Wherever they put him, he made the shot.
So how are you
guys? If you think about it, if you can shoot a aircraft clear around the world into another atmosphere,
right?
Why wouldn't a robot be able to make free throws or make a jump shot from the elbow or whatever?
Okay.
So I saw it and it.
Where's the ball coming from?
Handed to him.
You know, like from where we're on the robot's body.
He shot the jump shot. I need to show you this, the video because he actually shot it like a basketball player.
Did he leave the ground as he shot it?
No, he didn't. Not yet. But you know it's coming.
How tall is the robot?
I think it was like 7 foot tall.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
So he's releasing the ball from nine feet or so.
Every last like unblockable. One of
you
them.
Couldn't, like,
no, I'm just saying, but it wasn't you can't move. So first of all, you probably can cross him over by saying, boo. Hey, man. Hey. Ta-ta-ta-ta. Who? You crossed. I mean, he's stationary. He has to be moved to a spot.
So we're taking Big Al in the one-on-one, but if it's a free throw shooting contest, we're going to take the robot.
You're going to lose every time.
Okay.
The robot was perfect. Toyota introduced this, its employees just introduced this concept, and the robot was perfect.
Okay.
My question to you.
Yes.
Do you ever want to see robots, artificial intelligence involved in any of your sports?
Not right now.
Like, do you want a kicker that's basically, you know, I mean, if he understands speed of the wind, knows, do you ever want to see that?
Well, you met with Hugh Jackman. You could talk about real steel if you want. Those are robot fighters. I would say no, not now, but I could guess in 50 years.
Less than that.
Okay. I don't know if you want to put a number on it. Virtual reality sports.
I'm thinking about real robots and
You're thinking like real steel.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's not a question of, you know,
who knows what
it's going to happen. It's going to happen,
right.
but I want to take this a step further because
so if the essence of a sport is to root for one team against another team, how much does it matter that the people you're rooting for are actually human?
That's what I'm and this is why I say that I don't want to see this.
It's a complicated question.
I don't want to see this because
look at the esport world, which is growing in enormous popularity.
Yeah, but what makes it, but there's still a human who's in control of the movements on the screen.
Yeah, but
and
so
when
what?
You win and you lose, then you can see their heartfelt emotions. What makes sports?
I think
great,
we're years and I mean we are all, we're like a couple, 3 or 4 generations away from this being reality.
No, you're wrong. No.
How quickly do you see something?
I can see this kind of technology if it was just going to be available just to. Well, we know it's here now. We see robots jumping and running and doing all that stuff now. If you want them to shoot a free throw.
Yeah, but they don't run and jump all that well right now. They can do it, but they don't do it all that well.
But it's going to happen. And this is why I say that I don't want it. What makes sports great is the human condition that they have to go through.
That's right, the scoring.
That's right, in the wins and the losses and their triumphs, we celebrate. And with their losses, we agonize.
For now, yes.
Right, I mean, and it's so we've been having this conversation and knowing that this conversation has been had with us for many years, I'm going to walk back that idea of using a digital strike zone.
Oh, you don't like that?
No, I don't want it. I don't want the advances in technology to my sports.
So I'm watching the Rockies the other night, and there's a new kid, Hampson. I don't know if you know anything about him, but DJ LeMahieu was a little bumped up, so they got this Hampson kid who was a star in college and is doing great and was a high draft pick and all that, and he's up to the big leagues. Okay, great.
And I think his second at bat ever, he bangs like an RBI double, and his family's going nuts and crazy, and it's awesome. Well, I see him on day two, and he's playing, and there's an outside pitch, and he gets rung up on that outside pitch. And the first thing that Drew and Spilly talk about is, he just got big leagued, meaning there's a veteran pitcher throwing to a rookie. And on a 2-2 count on an outside whatever pitch, that goes to the pitcher's way. That player just got big leagued. Like, the umpire is quite aware that he's a young guy and he knows it's Zach Greinke or something out on the mound. And Spilly,
I don't like it, but I'm going to take it.
Drew acknowledged it. We all saw it with our own two eyes, and it's ridiculous.
You know what, D-Mac? I just don't want it no more.
Having lasers in a strike zone is so far away from robot baseball,
but
I can't even tell you.
Think about what you're saying also. What you're saying is that there's no job for the umpire.
Good. I said he should be the ball holder. We need somebody to...
Do we really need a ball holder?
We do.
Couldn't we have a machine just throw the ball to...
You know, you can make an argument about that.
And couldn't we have cameras over first base, second base, third base, and home plate to realize whether or not it was safe or
just have lights
call?
Sure. Green,
so when do
green
you,
safe,
when
red
do you
out.
When do you want to see the humans then?
For umpiring, never. As little as humanly possible.
Oh, so
I
want to
see the humans play the game, not decide the rules. Have you watched tennis lately?
Of course.
All right. This is all done in tennis. The robot, the lasers, dictate everything. If there's a close call, they just literally go to the robots and the lasers, and they say in or out. Everybody trusts the technology, and they just move on.
I just don't.
It's already happening.
I want us to slow it down.
Dude, do you know how many baseballs during an average baseball game?
Listen, man, when you see this video of this robot shooting free throws and making every last one of them.
Yeah. I'm not going to equate that to the strike zone and that.
Well, why not? It's in the same vein.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
Listen, Al, there's not going to be a game of robot basketball that happens overnight. But you could use
the strike zone laser thing anytime. I don't want it to happen.
You like the human element. You like the umpires getting 85% of the correct calls rather than
100%. You know what, man? I love the fact that we can say that it's part of sport, you know, that rookie doesn't get the call.
Right.
You know what? I want to say that it's part of sport that the home team gets the advantage.
Okay, great.
I don't necessarily want the advances to happen in my other parts of my
life.
Dude,
I'm over these umpires. Are ridiculous.
I'm okay with the artificial intelligence ramp in other areas of my life to improve it. I don't want to see it in my sports.
You'd be fine in baseball. You wouldn't even notice. The umpire, you know how many
why
balls?
Why not just go ahead and use
if you want to talk about something deeper,
why not just go ahead and use a robotic pitcher to go ahead and pitch?
Because, like you said, the element that people root for is the story behind the human.
But the human could be the batter.
Alfred, there's no umpire fans. People are not fans of umpires.
Well, of course, how many times have we said the referees got us? Part of the sport, man. Come on, man. Come on. You know I'm right. Look at the text line. I know I'm right on this.
I don't think so. But it's okay because I don't want robots to overtake our American sports culture either. I'm scared of robots in my house taking over my house. So I'm essentially with you, but I just want balls and strikes to be called by the lasers and all that. If you want to have a deeper argument, I will agree with you about robot basketball and robot football and all that. But call balls and strikes the right way because we have the technology to do it. If you just give me balls and strikes, I'll agree with you about robot everything else. Don't be against them getting it right for balls and strikes.
What about the human element of getting it right on calls at first, second,
they
third?
Already do that because you can challenge any call.
You can challenge, but why not just get it right every time?
They do get it right every time now.
No, only if it's challenged.
Yeah, but there's only a handful of times that actually is even close. They do get it right now. And it's better.
What do you think it is? A 90, 92, 93%?
At first base, it's like 100% now. At first base, it's like 100%.
I guarantee it's not 100. It's pretty close. I bet it's really close.
Balls and strikes are totally different, and it's ridiculous what happens.
But this guy may have a different strike zone. And,
it's
ridiculous.
That's not the way the sport's supposed to be.
I'm okay with that, man.
Oh, my God, you're silly.
You just go and watch that, that robot make those free throws and tell me it's silly.
Well, thank God we're going to commercials so I can watch it right now.
It's The Drive with Big Alan Dmac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Judging rules, the robot is the performance part of the sport. I think you like superstar calls in basketball, and I think that's one of the reasons I think NBA reffing sucks.
Superstar calls in the NBA are earned. You have to become a superstar to get those calls. You know, I don't see why you guys, whoever is in a favor of umpires being, you know, vanquished to the woods, I don't see how you guys can see this as a good thing if you're a sports fan. Now, if you're a technologist, okay, I get it. But if you just want, I saw the basketball, like you saw it.
Hey, they made that robot tall. He's going to have his
it's
trouble
seven
getting.
Foot. It's 7 foot tall.
It's not very mobile, though.
No, told you the crossover is deadly with him.
I agree with D-Mac. Refs and umps can go away in almost every sport, and I'd be completely okay with it.
Oh, my goodness.
In baseball, they go through 82 baseballs a game. Somebody's got to hold the baseballs in Major League Baseball. I was stunned when I found out that number. I mean, you know, and that's about it.
82 baseballs.
Did you know that? 82 baseballs a game.
I know they
average.
Had a lot because, you
82
know.
82 a game. On
82
average.
A game, huh?
Yeah. And the balls.
If the ball hit the ground, then it's got to be a new ball.
And it's a new ball. So they have to rub up and put that Mississippi mud on 80, probably 100 baseballs a game. It's stunning. Have you ever, if you walk around the bowels of Coors Field, sometimes you run into like the pens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
used
crazy.
Baseball.
It's like, oh, that's crazy. God. They look brand new.
They look brand new. I mean, just thousands of baseballs. It would be great to use the technology, at least in terms of that, as well
so,
as possible.
So, last time we'll talk about this for a while.
Isn't it a joke? Did you? By the way, did anybody catch? Did you see this? This was hot last week.
A All-Star game?
Well, no.
I don't even know
what country it was in, Big Sexy, but it was some sort of foreign country. The dude swings at a pitch, and the umpire calls it a ball. And then they go out to the umpire at first base, and he calls it a ball. The dude literally swung and missed at a pitch. It was kind of
where, though?
I don't know. It looks like some foreign country someplace.
Where?
I don't know. You could find it easy. It was all over the place last week.
Okay. No, I just don't. I'm just not the guy. I'm not the guy that
Mexico City.
Used to be before I saw this
the robot
shooting a 16-foot shot and making every last one of them perfectly.
Hey, Craig, you're on the fan. What's up, Craig?
I don't want it.
Yeah, Craig.
Hey guys,
what's up, Craig?
Just trying to get home. I'm like 25 south.
Right, be careful. Right, take your time.
Yeah, take it easy out there.
Hey, the umpire discussion, I kind of agree with D-Mac on this with the balls and strikes on anything that the batter doesn't attempt at. So the umpire behind the plate has a lot of other determinations to make. So is it
But his most important one is calling balls and strikes.
But how many pitches are thrown during a game where there's no attempts by the batter?
A lot.
A lot? Yeah, that's a lot. I agree with that.
Most.
But you still need the guy behind the plate because there's a lot of
he just needs,
questionable calls.
Nah, dude, he just needs to hold the baseballs and get him to the catcher to throw to the pitcher.
So
I mean,
he doesn't
that's
have to, wait a minute. So your idea of this guy is like his job would be
hold the baseballs.
You know, like a water boy type of deal.
Kind of. And he can stay safer out at home. And
that,
you know,
but not really. I mean, because that's just as important as the first pitch.
It's a if it's a drop third strike, you can sort of very minimal amount of work. By the way, it's crazy. You realize that these umpires are all in a rotation. So the home plate umpire doesn't do home plate every game. He only does home plate every fourth game because he's with an umpiring crew. So you don't have this argument about the second base umpire during the game, and he's basically doing nothing all game. Or the third base umpire where there's even a least amount of action. So nobody sits here and says, oh, I really wish there was more for the third base umpire to do. You don't care what he does during the game. So why is there so much importance put on the home plate umpire?
Because he calls balls and strikes.
Right, which is dumb.
I think my point is anything that the batter makes an attempt at, it's always going to go to the umpire. You can't replace that with lasers. That's my point.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Craig. You can replace almost everything with lasers.
It's an emotional deal. Whether you believe it or not, it's
Sexy,
emotional.
Big Sexy just sent you the video. So you can take a peek at it and give me your instant reaction once you look at it.
The crazy thing is he swings, calls it a ball, but then they go to first base. The first base umpire.
They appeal, and he calls it a ball.
Yeah.
The guy swung at the pitch.
Well, I mean, let's just say that maybe, there was some interest in...
You think there's some pesos being exchanged in that particular game in Mexico City?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty crazy. I mean, maybe. Who knows? I like technology, but I'm against robots taking humans' jobs.
That's essentially what you're saying that you want to do.
So when we're doing this show in 2068, you know, and we're robot basketball is about to debut, and we're in our Irvin Joe stage, you know, I will vehemently support you. I'll be like, this is wrong. I'll probably keel over right then and there.
Oh no. You make jokes about it. It's going to be a lot sooner than that.
The strike zone inevitably will be dictated by lasers sooner than later. It needs to happen right away.
You just
don't worry about
delegitimize
it.
The umpire.
Right. Who's your favorite home plate umpire these days?
I don't have a favorite.
That's the right answer. That's the right answer.
But what you're doing is essentially taking him out of the...
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so you fundamentally want to take a rule provider out of the game.
Yes, we should not know the names of any officials. Officials should not be celebrities.
Okay. I disagree. I think that they're part of sport, you know, and...
Do you think baseball is less interesting because fewer people get ejected? Because fewer people by far are getting ejected.
No. I think baseball is interesting because pitchers can dominate
batters. Do you think we're missing out
batters?
That we're not seeing a Ron Luciano, Earl Weaver sort of yell fest at each other? Do you think we're missing out because of that?
I think that added character to games, yes.
We're missing out on that?
No, I'm just saying, but some of those moments came because of bad calls at first base, second base, third base, and at home plate.
Yeah.
Those have been eliminated.
Which is good.
But you didn't...
Galarraga missed out on a perfect game because of a bad call
at first base.
Do you think they implemented
the technology after that. Right. I think that was one of the major reasons why the technology was...
Of course, because he deserved a perfect game.
Of course he did.
It was a shame. It was just awful that moment
you
cost
just
him
wait
a perfect
when
game.
You just wait when there's no officials in... What about... Football and basketball, will those games need officials?
I think so. Yes, I believe so.
But baseball doesn't need officials.
But I think there should be more review, especially in football.
In your perfect world, there would never be an umpire or any other referees in baseball.
Gosh, in a perfect world, yeah. There would be no umpires whatsoever.
Oh, my goodness.
We would have lights.
So how would you handle confrontations about a rule interpretation?
You wouldn't have them.
What do you mean?
There'd be nobody to argue with.
I'm not talking about an argument. I'm saying
maybe there's one official who sits on a chair and he sits there and he's the Lord Ruler of Rules. So there's one guy. So if you got a beef with the technology, you can bring it up to the one guy.
You're not afraid of somebody screwing around with the technology to get an unfair advantage like they have been doing in baseball for 100 years.
I think that should be a concern for sure.
That's why you need a human element.
As long as we keep the Russians out of Facebook, I think we'll be okay. Here's Mark Schlereth.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
The Broncos as an organization have put themselves in a position where they have to get production from this rookie class. If they're going to make the move from 5-11 to 9-7, 10-6, and be competitive and be in that playoff hunt, this rookie class has got to get them over the top. And we've talked plenty about Bradley Chubb getting it done and maybe a Cortland Sutton getting it done or maybe a Royce Freeman getting done. But the one guy that we haven't talked about a lot, the outlaw, Josie Jewell. And interestingly enough, had a long conversation the other day with one of the coaches that couldn't be more effusive in his praise for the kind of football player that Josie Jewell is. That gives me great hope. And you know, one of the interesting things is a guy who's a great football player, a 3-year starter, a 3-year captain, did everything. He was a tackling machine at Iowa. The guy was phenomenal. How he got the nickname the Outlaw. So the guy was all over the place, and he goes to the combine, and this is why the combine is such a crock of garbage. He runs a 4.81, and everybody says, oh, downgrade him. He can't run fast enough to play in the NFL. But you know what he did? He came back at his pro day and ran like a 4.65, and he's got great anticipation, great football intelligence, and he just seems to be around the football making every play. So your playoff hopes for your Denver Broncos, Bronco Country, may rely or may hinge on the outlaw, Josie Jewell. And I, for one, am so excited for camp to start, the rookies report tomorrow, to see this guy get his cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.